Okay, you may be seated. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see every one of you. Yeah, the first work is to get yourself here. So today we are doing good because I'm seeing some people I haven't seen in a while in service. We're doing good. Okay, yeah, we're doing good. So you can give yourself a pat on the back because the midweek service is for you. It's for you. It's for you. And for you and I. So we're doing good. We'll start on a good note. And let's press on with that. As we come weekly, we come to receive from the Lord, to be refreshed by Him, to be equipped by Him. There's a congregation in town that I love. You know, at the back of the service, at the back of the church, it said the services, the church is over, service begins. So that when you're exiting, you know that church is over, but service begins. So the service is as you go out to serve people. But then how can you serve if you have not been equipped? So that's why we come here, to be refreshed. We come here to receive from God's word, and so that when we leave empowered, we leave charged, we leave with ideas, with wisdom, the wisdom of God that we may function. I'm going to share a few passages, two passages of scripture to you tonight, and then we will invite our speaker for tonight. Psalm 107, verse number 20. Psalm 107, verse number 20. The Bible says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Destructions with S. He sent His word. But if you go to verse 19, it says, then they cried. Of course, you know I like context a lot, right? So if you just start with then they cried, it doesn't make sense. But at least let's just take, He is sending His word from there. So you can understand the context of it. Basically, is thanksgiving to God for the great work he does among His people. You know, the Bible says, then they cried. Verse 19 says, if you keep going back, you will see, if you just keep going back, you'll begin to see context a lot more. So I'm just provoking you so that when you go back, you can read. Okay. Verse 18 says, their soul abhorred all manner of food. That's talking about a person who is despondent. A person who has come to a place where, like, you know, we're singing, I'm desperate for you. Because you just come to realize that God is smarter. And that we can do nothing without Him. Even though we think sometimes that we can do a lot without Him. But just find out that He's actually smarter. He said, their soul abhorred all manner of food. Some of us cannot stay away from food, but they were so at a place where they were desperate to where their souls abhorred. Soul is where you have your mind, your will, your emotions. That's a center where you know how the food tastes. The soul rejected the food because there was something that they needed more than food. And they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. How did He save them? Verse 20, He sent His word and He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Whenever you come to church, know something, that God's healing power can be released to you through the agency of His word. The Bible says you've exalted your word, your name, your word above all your names. Above all. So when the word of God comes, that's where deliverance happens. That's where miracles happen. That's where healing happens. That's where there's a pulling up. So when you listen keenly and you listen with your spirit, not just with your ears, you listen with your heart is receptive. Jesus said, these words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when the word of God is coming, it is releasing life and it is releasing spirit. And when you are open, you receive. There's a quickening that happens to you. Oh, the Bible says Jesus was speaking somewhere, and it says the power of God was present to heal and to deliver as the word was going forth. The power of God was present. The power of God is released when his word comes forth. Amen. Then he sent his word. If you come here today with some things that you needed settled, his word tonight will meet you at the point of your needs. I'm just urging you to be open. I'm just charging you to be open. Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse number 2. Psalm 138, verse number 2. And by the way, you know, here it's a living word. Living word. It's not by mistake. It wasn't just a name that was just a living word. That's why we major on the word. Every miracle that will be sustainable in your life must come by agency of the word. Are you hearing me, somebody? I said every miracle in your life that will be sustained or sustainable must come by agency of the word. If you get it by the word, you can keep it. Psalm 138, verse number 2. Oh, let me begin from verse 1. Context. He said, I will praise you with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praises to you. So any other thing that tries to make itself gods will sing praises to him. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. To magnify means to make bigger. Jehovah Jireh, the healer, the word is bigger. Jehovah Shalom, your peace, the word is bigger. He is magnified. He said, you magnify your word above all your name. Above all your name. So his word, oh my God. I'm giving you a nugget tonight. Praise God. And so, whenever the word of God comes, a wise person is receptive. The psalmist says this, he said, I am wiser than my instructors because your testimonies, that's your word, are my meditations. The way to come overcome sin, your word have I hid in my heart, oh God, that I shall not sin against you. Word. So tonight, without much ado, would you rise to your feet? Let's put our hands together as we welcome to the platform Joe Charleston.
Boy, those are bright lights. You know, I so appreciate that word. I really do. I think about the fact that, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to frustrate it. I don't have to strive at it. I get to trust him to take care of me. And I think that's the answer. So, guys, let's just take a moment. And I think the thing that I keep thinking about is gratitude. And let's just take a moment and just get our hearts in the right place and come from a place of abundance instead of a place of lack. And let's find ourselves full of gratitude about what God's done. Whether I'm standing here because I have clean clothes on, because I have shoes on my feet, because my belly's full, because I have a car to drive, because I've got gas, because I get to come to a church that lets me share the Word of God, because I get to come to church because I get to hear the Word of God. I get to see a pastor who has a heart for the people. Tons of things to be grateful for. So I challenge you right now, just take a minute and just spend some time with the Lord and just be grateful for wherever you stand, whatever you're going through. Remember, the struggles we're going through are not about terrible things. These are good things. This is the changing. This is the separation of moving from flesh to spirit. So when we think about the struggles we're going through, it's the trying of our faith. What's trying of our faith? It's really challenge what we believe. Or can we put action to what we believe? And then let patience have its perfect work. And in doing so, then we can finally be content. We can be complete. We can accept the fact that in our struggle, I am complete. I am entire. I'm lacking nothing because it's not I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. Gratitude Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Gratitude sets us up for the moment we get to spend time with God and be present with Him. Father, we thank You so much for the love You love us with. We thank You for never leaving us or forsaking us. We thank You, God, for not quitting on us, and that nothing can separate us from Your love. God, our sins, our attitudes, our disbeliefs never cause You to turn Your back on us. And we thank You, God, that we can stand in Your presence and have You say, come, come, reason with me. Thank You for being our Father. In Jesus' name. Well, I'm surprised. You know, I came to this church because I was looking for something local, someplace that would be easy. I've always traveled 20 minutes to church or 45 minutes to church. It's like I had to go to the right church when the right church is right here. So it's two blocks. You know, I think the thing that this is a whole different experience for me. Instead of coming to church, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm the critic. I'm the guy that wants things to be so good that we can accomplish so much that we can change the world. Victor, I'm all about measuring. If I don't measure it, I'm not going to do it, right? I don't know where I'm at. And for most of my life, I've been a ship without a rudder. I didn't understand purpose because I didn't know how to relate. See, for me, my relationship with God is perfect. There's nothing for me to do to fix it. It's amazing. It's the most incredible thing. The challenge I have is you guys. The cool thing is, Christ came to this earth. And where did He land? He landed right in the center where we are and where He is. And He brought us together. Isn't that God? That's cool stuff. So, the thing I want to say to you is, I am not a theologian. I don't even know what I'm doing. And I think that was the greatest revelation I could ever get, because I always thought when I was a lot younger, I know if you would just do it my way, Pastor, we could fix this stuff. Fix those people. Get rid of them. It was really hard. But then I grew up, and then I got married, and then I've got kids, and I'm trying to work and raise a family. And I'm going to school, and I'm an elder, and I'm a teacher, and I've got responsibilities in the books, and I'm running sound, and I'm doing all these great things for God, and my family's suffering. And what am I doing? I'm living the should. And I couldn't reconcile, why does my church love me and my family hates me? Can anybody relate to that? Am I the only one? Well, you know, it's hard, right? This is not easy. I kept saying, if you'll just have faith. And then one day she divorced me. But that was the change in my life, to realize that I didn't have to be good enough. I didn't have to be perfect enough. I didn't have to know it all. But it took a lot of work. And it's amazing, when the church thought I was backslidden, in the background, God was really doing a work in my life. I remember a time standing at the light, and I'm sitting there, and I'd just gone to church and went down for prayer, and the pastor says, Father, help this backslidden man. But my relationship was perfect with God. I just didn't know how to work out my life. I didn't know what to do to fix it. I just knew it was broke. And so I'm just talking to the Lord and saying, well, you know, and I don't know how to pray, God. I haven't got any energy to pray. And then suddenly He said, you don't need to. I'm here. Now, when I say that God said, I want to be careful. I remember one time I was in a class, and I was saying, God said this to me, and God said that to me. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, I heard this voice say, stop. Ladies and gentlemen, please sit down. I'm sorry. I'm standing. You're standing. Hey, we're standing together. But I remember suddenly this voice spoke to me and says, stop it. And I thought, what? What's that about? And it says, you don't get to use my name in vain. And I thought, what does that mean? And He said, you don't get to push your agenda with my name. Man, that's a word. Man, that's a big word. Because I was throwing God around, oh, like I was his best friend. Well, I am, but not in that way. I kind of took it too far. You know, as a kid, I grew up in Catholic school, and that's where I found the Lord. And I begged my parents to send me to seminary, but they thought otherwise. And then I ended up at Cookson Hills Christian Schools, which is a Protestant church, and it was a home for wayward boys. And I was living on the streets at the time, not because my parents were bad parents, not because they didn't have food, clothing, and shelter, but because I couldn't listen to them. And I couldn't receive from them. And so I'm living in empty houses, stealing food, doing things. One day I get a call. My mom says, hey, I want to talk to you. She says, I don't need to talk to you. She says, either you come or I'm going to call the police and tell them you run away. So I went and spent 15 minutes with her. And she lied to me. Now, I say that. She says she didn't. But she told me about this great, wonderful place. It's a big campus, 2,000 acres. They've got pool tables. They've got bowling. They've got, you get your own apartment, no fences, but you got to go to school and you can't leave campus. I thought, man, I'm in for that. So being a guy that's got hair down to here, and I loaded up all my drugs and paraphernalia, and I'm going to grow pot in the closet and just have a good old time and go to school. And I get there, and, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm all excited, and I'm walking in, and I've got, do you remember the leisure suits, the ones that had the big collars? And anybody remember those silk? Oh, gosh, I had hair down to here. And so, but I walk in, and I remember this gentleman came folks went in first, and then this gentleman came in, and he said to me, he says, I'd like to talk to you next. So I went in. He said, Joe, I'm going to tell you how the cow ate the cabbage. I'm the boss. You do things my way. You don't get to call the shots. He says, I'm going to shave your head, and I'm going to strip search you, and you're going to do the things I tell you to do when you're here at this campus. And I don't know what happened, but immediately I went from this rebellious know-it-all kid to full compliance. I mean, instantaneously. And they took me down and shaved my head. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine that? Hair down to here. I got to be careful about time. I don't want to run over. But in any case, the thing that was interesting about that is those people loved me. Now, there was structure, lots of structure. We were in church every day of the week. We were in Bible studies morning and night. We had chores we had to do. And I didn't have my own apartment. I was in a room with six other kids. And they were wearing my clothes. The thing that happened there is it changed my life. Now, they wanted me to convert, and I felt like I'd already converted because I felt like God and I were there. And I remember I read the Bible all the time because they had me reading the Bible, and I remember reading Revelations, the part where he says, you know, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I want you to be hot or cold. Well, when I read that, I said, oh, okay, God. Well, I don't want you to be mad at me or anything. So I tell you what, I'm just going to put you on the sideline for a while, and I'm going to go play. And so I did that. And then when I got out of Cookson Hills, I started looking for churches. And every church I went to, it seemed like they were always talking about other churches. And then I thought, I can't find a church. And then one day I met this gal, and she just loved me like nobody. I mean, I just felt so loved. I tell you what, kids need belonging. Yeah. And you know what? When you grow up, you need belonging. Yes. It's amazing. And she just accepted me for who I was. She loved me. And she just talked to me about the Lord. And her husband was a pastor. And so one day, she kept inviting me to church. Oh, I don't need to go to church. I'm not ready yet. And one day, I just felt compelled to go to church. I went to church. And next thing you know, I'm down at the altar. And people are coming by, and they're putting their hands on me and praying for me. And then this one guy comes by and puts his hand on my shoulder. And he just won't stop. And I keep waiting for him to get, because I want to get up. So I turn around, and there was nobody there. And I said, God, I guess this is it. I can't turn back now. And from that point on, my life has not been the same. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not because I had it together. It's because I was complete in Him. Yeah. I didn't need to be perfect. I didn't need to follow the rules. I didn't need to worry about being somebody that I'm not. I just needed to be me. And I think that's the hardest part sometimes, that I, in my experience, I can't talk about you guys in the church, has always felt like I always had to be something else. Performance was big game. So I cut my teeth in Foursquare, ended up Pentecostal Holiness, went over to Assembly of God, went to another church. In 4 years, I saw four church splits in three churches. What is going on with the church? And of course, me, I'm telling the pastor how he ought to do it. So I think the thing I want to talk about tonight is I want to capitalize on what pastors talk about when he talks about structure. Now, I'm a corporate guy. I'm not a pastor. And I'm taught in church. I've been in church since 86. The thing I do want to talk about, though, is how do we do structure and how do we do community? And so I coach people, and I especially in corporate, on how to overcome the obstacles. And the reason we fail in corporate is not because of processes, not because of charters, not because of products or services, not because of sales. We fail because of people. And so, ladies and gentlemen, people are the most important resource we have. You, if you don't feel important, you need to realize, you need to get real about the fact that you're important. And I don't care if you're the janitor or if you're the president of the company or you don't have a job, you're homeless, you're still incredibly important. And I think that's the part that's a challenge. So I have 15 minutes left. So let's pull up, can you pull up Philippians 4? So one of the things I've been really struggling with is how do I connect with the body of Christ? Because I'm still opinionated. I'm still Joe. And I have a desire for the body of Christ to get it together. And I remember after my divorce realizing that I was the one that had a lot of problems. It wasn't everybody else. I remember when I took 2 years of counseling courses, I suddenly realized, oh my gosh, I am the problem. I remember when I first got saved, I was driving down 21st Street in Wichita, Kansas, and I felt like the Lord had said to me, the problem isn't the problem, it's your reaction to it. If you've got a problem, it hasn't got anything to do with him. It's always about you. I own my own thoughts, feelings, and needs. You can't make me feel. You can't make me think. You can't make me change. So I have to own that. So being open to the idea that I could be wrong. Being negotiable. Or let's go back. Open to the idea I could be wrong. Willing to consider it. Willing to take time and give it some space. And then negotiate a step forward, even if it's a small step. And so my goal is not to change the world. My goal is to influence change. And the only way I can influence change is to be the change. Yes, sir. So the things that I say to you, you need to, and I'm judging you. Romans 2:1 says what? You go around judging everybody else, but you're guilty of the same stuff. Now, guys, I don't know you, so this is kind of interesting to me. Usually I have an audience and I know who I'm talking to, but I don't. So I don't know where you're at. But if you're a human being, I think you have the same challenges I do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. Absolutely.
That's right. So given that, today I have been struggling in the last couple of years saying, God, okay, I've pushed all the buttons and I've pulled all the levers and I'm not getting the results. Why hasn't this happened? The interesting thing is that suddenly God's showing me something about purpose. And it has to do with identity. Identity. Who am I? Who am I in Christ? How do I see myself? Do I see myself as a loser? Then I'm a loser. Do I say I can't do something? Then I can't do it. Why does the Bible talk so much about taking thoughts into captivity? Why does the Bible speak about thinking on those things that are pure and holy, true and just. Do you realize that universities, any psychologists here? Ah, we got one, great. Universities are studying epigenetics, and that's just, I won't get into all the details, but they're studying the whole idea of how our words affect our lives. And so what's fascinating to me is that in this study of me working out my stuff, I realized that my own self-talk undermined my life. And so what's important then was for me to learn how to live in the now. Now, I remember one time when God spoke to me and says, hey, Joe, I say God spoke to me. See, I told you guys. You guys are doing good. You're catching me. So I remember having this realization. I was at a luncheon over here on 81st and Sheridan at a barbecue place. And suddenly we're in this men's group and it was a luncheon and my brain just explodes with, Joe, pay attention. And it was this, I don't want you frustrating the past. I don't want you to worry about the future. I want you to celebrate right now. And it said it to me 3 times. Now, that planted a giant seed. I thought it changed my life immediately at that moment. But it wasn't until this last 2 years, that really suddenly it came alive in a whole new way. And that has to do with the idea of being present. Because in the moment, that's when you can experience God.
Yes, sir.
In the moment, that's when you can experience yourself.
Yes,
in the moment, that's when you can make a decision about how you want to align or how you want to show up. But sometimes my feelings get the best of me and I start chasing my feelings. Right? And so when I think about rejoicing the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, that sets you up for the right mindset.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's such, because if I'm thinking about you in a negative state, and my mind says, this guy's no good, whatever, 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 then what happens? I can't see anything good in him. I can't, because my brain is too preoccupied with what's wrong with him. When you're in a fight with your wife or your husband or your guy at work or a friend, what's going on? You're all wrapped up in your own feelings, thoughts, and needs, and you can't take a moment and give space to the fact that maybe they have feelings, thoughts, and needs.
Yeah.
I had a guy at work one time. I had asked him, we had a big project, and we had an important customer, and the customer had a problem. I was a product manager. He was a project engineer, and I asked him to take care of it. He says he has it, no problem. Well, the customer called me a couple days later, I haven't heard anything. So I called him up and says, hey, man, where are we at on this? He says, Joe, we're working on it. I'm sorry, we'll get it taken care of right now. And then a couple days later, the guy calls me back and says, Joe, I haven't heard anything. And so the third time, I blew up. I was yelling so loud, the whole plant heard me. Now, who do you think was wrapped up in their emotions? Yeah, whose problem was it? What do you mean you don't know? It was my problem. It was my problem. I just told you the answer. The problem isn't the problem. It's my reaction to the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that young man that I yelled and berated in front of the whole plant had lost his mom that week. I had no idea about his problems. I was so preoccupied with what I wanted, my agenda, that I couldn't consider somebody else. And empathy would say, I'd gone to him and says, hey, you know, I talked to you about this. What's going on? Are you okay? I notice it's not getting done. Do you need help? Instead, I judged him.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what I don't know. Does anybody know what God's doing right now?
No.
And so if I don't know what I don't know, how do I know what I know? I mean, it's the truth. So when we think about the scripture in Isaiah 1:18, he says, let's reason together. What was going on? Man, they had a rebellious nation. Man, they were fighting against him and they weren't following him. And he says, hey guys, let's just reason together and I'll clean it all up.
Yeah.
So when you and I are at odds, let's reason together. Maybe there's something going on. And maybe, I can't tell you what it is. I remember arguing with a gal I was dating one time, and I couldn't articulate what I needed. And so she judged me. Now, I couldn't blame her, because I couldn't tell her what I needed. And it wasn't months later until I finally realized it. Now, guys, do you have problems verbalizing your needs? Am I the only one? We're the fixers. We're supposed to take care of it, right? So you change, we'll be done. Let's go on. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as
snow.
Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as
wool.
Is that a good thing? I mean, here we're talking about a nation that is really, I mean, it's like Joe when he was 16 running around the neighborhoods because he would not listen to his parents. Do we do that now? Okay, so let's go back to Philippians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're a body fitly joined together. God created you perfectly. His design was not a mistake. You may think, hey, I had a bad deal. My parents were rotten. I didn't have any parents. I was homeless or whatever it is. I keep getting fired or I have this temper. I'm an alcoholic. It doesn't change any fact. You're still valued by God. The cool thing about this is even though God created us, not even though, but as God created us perfectly and wonderfully, and what? Yes. I mean, this is one thing I like about this church. You guys quote scripture like crazy. This is new to me. A lot of other churches do too. But I'm impressed. So 6 minutes and 38 seconds left. Okay, I'm watching the clock, Pastor. So the thing I want to say is, if you're wonderfully made, who am I to judge you? If you're wonderfully made, then there's a purpose, right? And it pleased God. But then he stuck you in a body. 1 Corinthians 12, you guys can look it up. We won't look at it now. But it talks about the body and the importance of the body, that parts can't say, I don't need you. Hand can't say, I don't need you. You know, it's kind of like the eye looking at the foot and say, can't you watch where you're going? And the foot says, watch? What are you talking about? I don't understand what watch is.
Yes.
And so often, we're like that, right?
Yeah.
You're talking to me, and I don't have an idea what you're talking about. And then I don't have the ability to get off my ask, A-S-K. I know, you know, you guys have these weird, what do you call them, language things, you know, accent. Who said that? Accent. Yeah, accent. So I don't know if you guys can understand me. So keep it in mind that we're a body fitly joined together. Just because I disagree with you doesn't mean you're not right. Just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I'm not right. And maybe we're both right. We're just looking at it from two different frames of reference. Yeah. I got 4 minutes and 32 seconds. Am I going to go where I need to go? I don't. Ladies and gentlemen, you own you. It's none of your business what somebody else is doing. That's up to God. The thing that you're responsible for is the connection, because our fundamental purpose is what? Love the Lord thy God. Where are you, Bible people? Love. Yeah. This is it, right? It's love, right? And it's not just love, it's loving God first, loving ourselves, and loving others. I can't love others if I don't love myself.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
what happens is I start using the others because I need to feel love. Yeah, so the thing is, I can't love others authentically, transparently, and vulnerably if I can't love myself. Because now I'm manipulating you to get what I need to feel loved. Ladies and gentlemen, fundamentally, it's not everybody else. It's me. And it's me and my relationship with God. And my relationship with God, just like your relationship with God, is perfect. You are complete. It has nothing to do with perfection. Perfection is about performance. God doesn't say you got to earn it. Right? So in that, fundamentally, as part of the body of Christ, connection, managing the interfaces is the most important thing, because I can't love unless I can choose to love. Because love is a choice, it's not a feeling. If feelings are involved, my body is running rage. Because my body, feelings have no thoughts. They're chemical reactions. Where's the psychologist? Correct me if I'm wrong. And so bodies are about what? Emotions. What's the brain about? Thoughts. And what's the will about? It's taking in the data and making a decision. If I'm in my head all the time and I follow my thoughts all the time and I never check my heart, or if I follow my emotions all the time and I never check my thoughts, right?
Yes, sir.
So it's imperative that I have to position myself with gratitude in this moment in order to position myself to experience you as God experiences you. So let's go to the next one. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all mankind. Gentle. What's that scripture? It talks about gentle as a dove, wise as a serpent. You know, say that again, ma'am. Yeah. So what that means, how I interpret that, now there's scholars out here who might differ, but the way I interpret that is, I need to give you the benefit of the doubt. And so I'm going to be wise as a serpent, but I'm going to be gentle with you because I don't know. I want to say you did that because of that, but I really don't know. I can't judge your heart. I can't judge your motivations. Maybe you have a history of motivations that would say you're guilty, but in this case you weren't. So rather than judge you, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and create trust. I'm going to invest in trust. Now, just because I say I'm investing in trust doesn't mean I don't have boundaries. But the boundaries are my responsibility, not yours. If you choose to honor the boundaries, then we can connect in a profound way. If you choose to disregard the boundaries, then maybe we create some distance. So, 42 seconds left. Let's go on and just finish this. Let the gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. What's the next one? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And this is from a place of what? Gratitude. Be anxious for nothing. Go on to the next one. And the peace of God that which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, whatever things are good, of good rapport, if there is any virtue and if there's any praise, meditate on these things. We need to really pay attention to how we think. We have to be present to do that. If you're living your life and your emotions, you're not present. You're unconscious. If you're living your mind in your head, you're not present. You're unconscious. We need to get conscious, ladies and gentlemen. I need to be present right now with God so I can hear Him, so I can be with Him, so I can check myself, so I can celebrate myself and my walk with Him. All right, I'm up. I have no more time. The clock says time's up. Well, you know, there's a scripture that says the Holy Spirit teaches you, and so when it comes time to speak, He'll give you the words. And I got to tell you, I didn't know what I was going to say. That's not true. I had an idea. So I did not say, thus saith the Lord. All right, Pastor.
Come on, somebody.
Give it up for Job. We praise the Lord. You know, be you and be present in the now. I took a lot of notes. The problem is not the problem, it's your reaction to it. It's your reaction to it. You know, when we become very performance oriented, we don't live. We don't live life. We do things to get attention. And this message tonight is very important. It's very profound, yet very simple. You know, as humans, we are living beings, and it's a day-to-day thing. Me today is not the same me yesterday. It's not the same me last year. And so sometimes we get used to just living in boxes. We've boxed ourselves. And when you box yourself, you cannot be a productive part of a community. You, when you box yourself first, you'll be frustrated because you'll be frustrated by the box. You know, claustrophobic. Then you'll be frustrated with every other person because you think that they are the ones who are boxing you. But because you've boxed yourself. So, Joe, thank you so much for this word. It's so important. And I believe that when you hear words like this, they become life-changing. They become life-changing. Remember that God sends his word and heals. So I believe that there is healing here for people who may be at the place where Joe was. Because we are all human beings and our own lives are just different ways. You just think, maybe if I do this, maybe if this, if life is this way. And so for you, I pray that you receive healing as I've received healing. Yesterday, my wife and I was talking, because you touched on these things, we're talking about mindset. We had a conversation about mindset, how you see people, there's your preconception. Then we talk about emotional intelligence. We're talking about emotion, because you have to sometimes separate yourself from your emotions to be able to evaluate things and give other people the benefit of the doubt. And these are very important if we must live together as believers, because we're always going to see things differently. And in this church, in this place, our vision is to make your life count, one life at a time. And I've always said here, for your life to count, you don't have to try to be me or be like me or do like me. Even as when you preach, you don't have to try to preach like me. That's what when Pastor Victor preaches, he preaches like Pastor Victor. His name is Victor. He's not Blaze. When Pastor Peter preaches, he preaches like Pastor Peter. When Pastor Esther preaches, she preaches like Pastor Esther. When Joe preaches, she preaches like Joe. Hallelujah. When Lizette does it like her. You see, and that individuality, that's what is beautiful, because it makes you present. You're not trying to impress anybody. Praise God. And in that, God is well pleased. You who he designed. So I just want you to take a minute before we go to the communion, just to thank God for you. Thank God for the now. Don't get frustrated about the past. Don't be consumed about the future. But be present in the now. You can do life now. Here. You may have them broken pieces. Bring them all to God. They say, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Take my yoke. For my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for this moment. Lord, we give you praise. That you know everything about us. All our shortcomings. All our rough edges. All our imperfections. All our efforts. And yet you love us with a love that is immeasurable. Lord, I give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you for the gift of everyone here. And thank you for the gift of me to the world. Be glorified and be exalted. Amen.